From Lambeau Field, home of the 13-time NFL champs, it's the Mike McCarthy Show with Larry McCarron, Lance Allen, and the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, Mike McCarthy.
Welcome back to another season of the Mike McCarthy Show. I'm Lance Allen, alongside Larry McCarron and the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. Please give a warm welcome to Mike McCarthy. Mike, you've clearly had some time to let the Seattle loss sink in. What do you take from it at this point?
Well, number one, I mean, it's your first game, your first real opportunity. You always look at your preparation and your performance. I felt the preparation going into it was very good. Everybody to a man was very confident. But the fundamental mistakes and just the things that we did wrong is really the disappointment. You know, our operation wasn't what it needed to be. I'm talking about the communication from the boundary to the field, and you're going into that environment, something we put a lot of time in throughout training camp. So we didn't hit the target there. And then just really our fundamentals and the biggest glaring fundamental was the missed tackles.
What do you do, Mike, with the missed tackles? I mean, you guys work on it every day. I've seen it. You work on it every day. Do you change the drills? Is it a point of emphasis? Is it an attitude? How do you work on tackling now here in the season?
Well, the biggest thing about fundamental football, when you break it down, it's about, key component is footwork. And, we'll continue to work on it, continue to stress the tackler in those drills and emphasize it. And reality, too, is when you play a very good back, you have to have better technique. So we were lunging and just kind of getting away from the basic fundamentals. And it was really, most of it was our footwork. I mean, you go through, I think, 80-90% of the missed tackles is just the fact that we weren't running our feet, trusting our technique and tackling a good running back.
Mike, all offseason you worked on the up-tempo and the volume of plays. Unfortunately, Seattle won that 66-57 for number of plays in the game and time of possession. They had about 33 minutes. How do you correct that going forward and keep doing what you were working on?
Well, I think, you got to look at all the numbers. To me, and I'll say repeatedly, I think statistics are for losers. The only statistic that matters is if you win. So statistics really is a starting point. That's the way we view it. So every statistic that we put in front of our football team is also done with a video breakdown, the specifics of what's inside that statistic. So you can spin them any way you want. Offense, yes, we wanted to generate more first downs, really, and our breakdown on offense was more first and second down. We actually played well in the situation football. To play as well as we did on third down in that environment, what you would think would have led to a big night. So, and that wasn't the case. So first and second down was really our emphasis there. So, time possession is really a combination of both offense and defense.
Mike, as is so often the case, everybody's worried about Corey Linsley, the rookie starting at center, going into the game. Everybody's worried about him. Corey Linsley is fine. There's a bunch of other stuff that needs fixing, but he was fine, was he not?
I mean, and coming from you, Larry, you know that better than anybody. It's just,
I had to get that in.
I got the money you gave me earlier to say that. So, but Corey played very well. I mean, he did a lot of little things, too. So, very happy with his start. Obviously, with a tough assignment, first time out of the box. So, and on another note, really, our younger players played very well in that game. So, I was very pleased with our first, second, third-year players. The ones you kind of worry about getting into this first big-time environment like that of the year. So, we're off to a good start in that area.
Eddie Lacy passed his first concussion protocol. How do you approach the week with him?
Any time you get into these types of situations, Wednesday is kind of the first indicator, and then Thursday is our heavy lifting day as far as the padded work and the things that we do. So, if a player can make it through Wednesday, Thursday, we'll have more information.
Mike, since we're in the neighborhood, is James Starks an ideal number two back? Is it kind of comforting to have him come off the bench, and if Eddie can't go, to have that guy?
Oh, no doubt. I thought James played very well, and really our running back group played very well. I think they had 9-plus broken tackles in the game, so they did a very good job running the football and the chipping of the defensive ends. There's some clinic pictures of both James and Eddie. So, and DeJuan's coming on too. So, I mean, he's someone else that will get some opportunities. I really like where our running back group is right now.
Next up, our special guest, kicker Mason Crosby. You're watching the Mike McCarthy Show.
Joining us now, Packer kicker Mason Crosby. Mason, it's your season, so you've seen it all, the good and the not so good. The mental state of the team right now after a very disappointing opener.
You know, it's tough. Obviously, you want to go out and you want to do well in that first game, go into a tough place and try to get a win. I think this team is mentally tough. I think that we're going to be just fine. We're going to come in. I think guys took this weekend, kind of reflected on what this last week was, and made sure to come in today. It seemed like just even through meetings, guys are working, correcting what they need to mentally, and then we're going to put in a good week of work here and go take it out on the Jets.
You know, Mason, in preparation for this, I was kind of reading your bio and stuff like that, and I didn't realize this because they don't seem to go hand in hand, but you have kicked the 5 longest field goals in Packer history, beginning with a 58-yarder, but you also hold the franchise record for consecutive kicks, 23 in a row. Normally you'd think either the guy's a big boomer or he's real consistent, but you've managed to do both. How?
I think over kind of my career here with the Packers, there's every offseason, every year, there's something that you can work on and try to get better. Really worked on, especially those last few years of being consistent, going out, knowing that I can hit that long field goal, but I don't have to hit 70-yard kick every time. I can I can hit the kick that's called upon, and that I can be successful in those arenas. So last year I had a couple long field goals where I made sure that I had good smooth tempo, hit a good ball, and knew as long as I hit the ball well. It's like a golf game. You play golf. If you hit that ball, you don't have to swing out of your shoes. If you make good contact, it's usually going to fly farther. So I think with my time here, I've learned a few things, and I'm hitting the ball as well as I have in a long time. So I'm going to my 8th season, but I feel young, feel kind of like I'm at the start of something here.
Mike, are we going to see a 60-yarder from Mason this year?
Wow, that 4th-and-3 in Seattle was almost it almost would have been close. But we have great confidence, and before every game, Mason, Sean Slocum, and our specialists go out, and you have a mark of what yard line you're looking to get to. And Thursday night up there, I think Mason was, we were talking, from 60 out. So, he had some big kicks in pregame. So, we have a lot of confidence in him, and rightfully so.
All right, let's go out to Lance in the audience.
Mason, get ready. We have a lot of people ready to ask questions. And, Lanny, you're first off in this new season.
What do you attribute your early success this year compared to last year?
Obviously this training camp, I worked really hard to be consistent, not only in games but in practice, and there's a point. You do this long enough, you're kind of in it all the time. Not to let things snowball, and that's been the biggest thing, is making sure that one missed kick, one situation that doesn't go quite right, you move on from and go on to the next and try to be successful. So I've done a good job of that through last year, through early parts of camp in this season, and I plan on continuing to, if something, there's a bump in the road, just like this team with this first game, you got to move on. You got to focus on what lies ahead and make sure that you're successful in that next opportunity.
Rosemarie has the next question for Mason.
Okay, Mason, what are your most realistic goals for the season that you set for yourself?
For me personally?
Yes.
I've gone away from setting numbers and doing those types of things on percentage, because I think that kind of limits you. So obviously I go out and try to be consistent every week, every practice that I go into, and make sure that that I'm working hard every day. Every time I step on the field, take advantage of that opportunity. I know sometimes, that's not necessarily tangible statistically, but I know when I go out there and I've taken advantage of every rep that I have, and making sure that I go into the game every time I'm called upon to go out and be successful and help this team win. My main goal every time is to, every time I'm in an opportunity, I'm a direct scoring opportunity. So I want to help this team win and put as many points on the board as we can, so that that we can be successful and go win games.
And Ron has the final question.
Yeah, Mason, tell me, this is a multi-part question. Tell me, what stadiums, which are outdoors, do you like to kick in the best outside of Lambeau Field? Mm-hmm. Which domes? And then which stadiums do you like to kick in the least that are outdoors and domes, and why?
Whew, two parts. All right.
Well, actually, I think it's four.
So I need to give you an outdoor and a dome stadium that I don't like? All right. Well, you know, actually, Seattle, I've always liked kicking there. I kicked there in college a few times and had some good games. So I don't know what it is, just the wind, how it is in there. I feel good with that. Domes are just awesome to kick in because you don't have any conditions. You have to go and be successful there. I actually like kicking in Dallas. You know, that was a fun game last year. I was able to kick I grew up in Texas, so I actually got a picture. I kicked the 57-58 yarder there right in the middle of the star. So I asked someone after the game to give me a picture of that. So that was pretty cool. You know, outdoors that I don't like is Chicago is always a tough place to play. Fortunately, we're playing there a little earlier this year. I feel like we seem to always play there in December, and it can be a little nasty, not just the wind, but sometimes the field can be a little bit rough. So that's always an important one that I focus in on. And then any away dome, I think, can be loud. So as far as crowd noise and those things, I think domes definitely play a factor.
All right, Mason, thank you for all those answers. Next up, Mason and Larry. They bring down a kickoff from the Seattle game. You're watching the Mike McCarthy Show.
Kickoff by Crosby to start the second half. High end over end kick. Harvin 8 yards deep, comes out of there. Straight ahead, 5. Left hash marks to the 10, 15. Hammered down.
Welcome back. We're going to talk some ball with Mason Crosby now. And Mason, kicking off, big part of your job. Something I noticed the other night.
Yeah.
What's going on right here with this little bunch thing right before you kick off?
You know, it's just a little bit of a deceptive thing we've installed here for this year to just try to not give them a free read of where our guys are, because obviously as the season goes on, you start having the same type of guys in the same position. So this way we can kind of change up where guys line up. If you notice here, JB will be in this bunch here, and he'll actually run out and come up to the outside. So we can just kind of have them in different areas, and so they can't just sit there and be like, all right, we think they're going to be kicking right.
Now, Mason, back in the olden days, these guys, you know, the blocker type people, they always used to count, you know, how many yard from the kick or R1, R2. And so this kind of thing has got to screw up that count, does it not?
That's another, reason for it is that's what if you just line up, they say, all right, here's my 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and these guys all have their target, their guy they're going to block, and, this way. And I think what we do when we come out and we put Jared Bush, we shift in here, Jared comes on the outside, they think he's the safety, but he ends up running down hot, and they just don't account for him on the play here at the end.
Okay, let's focus in now on this guy right here. And let's roll the tape forward. And the steps you take from the ball to that point, are they precise, measured, the exact same every time?
Have to be the same every time. And I've actually gone back a yard from what I've been the last couple of years. Just a little more rhythm, a little more timing, smooth into the ball. I feel like I'm not having to even go after it as hard as far as just leg swing, and I'm hitting the ball really well right now.
As you're going up there, I mean, that's like about 10 yards that you have to think about it. Is there a temptation to think too much and engage your steps something like that?
I mean, that's why I have to practice it so much, is just that every time the tempo, the timing, the rhythm has to be exactly the same. And, sometimes these guys, I have to block him out coming in my vision there. And if a guy's a little quick, sometimes they're right there. So it's all just, reps and timing and trying to do it the same every time, so that those little factors don't play a role. But obviously, whenever it's 10 degrees out, it is, the ground's a little different, all that stuff, and the wind. You have to make sure that those steps are the same every time to try to hit a consistent ball.
Okay, let's go through with the kick. And it's going to find Percy Harvin, a very dangerous return man, in the back of his end zone. Hold it up right there. Now, How is this supposed to be shaping up the coverage in front of?
Here, well, if you look,
here you are right here, and then this coverage, how is it supposed to be shaping up?
Well, we've done a good job. I hit the ball high enough with a good depth that all our guys are in or around the 30-yard line. So this 30-yard line is kind of our goal. When he catches the ball, we want every guy to at least be on or past that 30-yard line. So that's on me to hit a high, good ball. We got some guys here, these fives, these two guys, their kind of job is to just disrupt. They're going to get in there. They're going to see, kind of the open space. And then you got Lattimore here and here where they'll kind of play off of them and try to shoot the gaps and make some plays there. So key on kickoff coverage is to beat the single blocks. If you get double teamed, hold and don't get out of your fill lane on that.
Okay, we'll keep an eye on number 24.
Yep,
JB, you called
here.
Him Jared Bush.
Jared Bush, yeah.
And you talk about defeating a single block. Let's roll it forward now. And Jared comes screaming around the edge. And there's a blocker for him,
yep.
But he dips underneath that. And then look at this. That's a big-time play against a big-time return man, is it not?
Yeah, he did a great job of squeezing the edge and taking a shot. And then, there's things that people don't see. The guys that didn't make the tackle, like Devon House, squeezed it down so that Harvin didn't have any other place to go other than right into Jared Bush, into kind of this front, these front three guys that were, pressing the line there. So there's a lot of things that end up, House didn't make the tackle. A couple guys didn't actually make the tackle, but they made the play and allowed Jared to squeeze and come down and hit him hard there. So tackling a guy like Percy Harvin inside the 20, inside the 15 is huge, and we need to continue that, and I think our coverage team is going to.
Inside the 15, we can live with that.
Yes,
Mason,
we can.
Thank you for being here. Good luck the rest of the way.
Right,
we'll be back with more of the Mike McCarthy Show in just a minute.
Welcome back to the Mike McCarthy Show. Each week we ask for your opinion on Twitter, and the fans, Mike, say that Sam Shields was a guy that kind of stood out to them in addition to Corey Linsley that Larry already mentioned. So let's talk about Sam and kind of the plays that he made in that contest.
Yeah, I think Sam played very well. I thought his coverage was excellent. I mean, he came up and had, he had big-time open field tackle there on third down. Sam's off to an excellent start. He graded out very well.
Mike, Micah Hyde and HaHa Clinton-Dix kind of share the load at safety. Do you envision that being the case as you move forward? Where does that position stand?
Well, I think like a lot of our positions, and you could look at the outside linebacker group and maybe the whole linebacker group, we want to play as many players as possible. And I think it's important to, everybody wants to get caught up in who's starting. I'm not as concerned about a player playing 1,000 or 1,100 plays in a season. That's the normal number of total plays over a 16-game season. So we can't play enough of them. So as far as Micah and HaHa and how that works out, that's really what the week's for and the competition, really the different personnel groups that we plan on playing week in and week out.
Mike, what's the status on Brian Bulaga, and if Derek Sherrod has to play, do you feel like he'll be better with a game under his belt?
Yes, number one, I think Derek will definitely be better and will be better. There's a player, play call or two in the second half. I wish I could have had back. And Derek will play. He'll play good with a week of preparation. Brian's going to try to practice Wednesday, so that'll be something we'll look at and see how the week goes.
Next up, we'll talk about the next opponent for the home opener. It's the New York Jets. You're watching the Mike McCarthy Show.
Mike McCarthy's wardrobe supplied by Montepulciano.
And welcome back to the final segment of the Mike McCarthy Show. Larry, you get the final question.
Mike, New York Jets home opener. What's their football personality about this season?
Well, when you watch the Jets, have an opportunity to watch the Oakland game live. I thought they did a very good job running the football, 200-plus yards. They're a big, long, angular defensive line, so that'll be something a challenge for us. But it's, they want to run the football, play good defense. Multiple, blitz schemes, particularly on third down. So this will be a great challenge, and it's always great to have the home opener, alumni weekend, and all the things that come with it.
Mike, good luck against the Jets this weekend.
Thank you, Lance.
All right, and don't forget, Coats for Kids collection. It will take place on Sunday. You can donate your new or gently used coats. Cash donations are accepted as well. Thanks for watching the Mike McCarthy Show this week, everybody.